Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, September 5th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 152, the first paragraph. We have shown how we got out from under. Through one paragraph ending, have you a sufficient substitute? Reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Letty G, 12 Traditions, Alex K. Readers of the text, Lois P and Larry G. The reference number for Monday, September 4th, is 20,597. That's 20597. And for this morning, Tuesday, September 5th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,599. That's 20599. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Susan S.H., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you so much, everyone, for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Letty G. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. I'm Letty G. I'm recovered for today, compulsive overeater, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much for letting me read, and thank you for all your service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Letty G. I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thanks, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, gratefully living in recovery for today. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you so much, Alex K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 152, the first paragraph. We have shown how we got out from under through one paragraph ending, "Have you a sufficient substitute?" And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only today. I will now ask Lois P. to begin reading.
Hi, thank you, Dawn, and good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. We have shown how we got out from under. You say, yes, I'm willing, but am I to be consigned to a life where I shall be stupid, boring, and glum, like some righteous people I see? I know I must get along without liquor, but how can I? Have you a substitute? So this makes me laugh, because I do see myself in this paragraph. When I was so attached and addicted to food and used to living on that high I would get from over-consuming, sugars and the other substances that would just affect my brain to the point where I'd be a different person. You know, the thought back then when I would think of giving those substances up, I would think, oh my God, life will be just so boring. I mean, going to parties, having birthday parties for my children or my husband, going to anniversaries, going out to certain community events. My gosh, I mean, if I'm not eating those favorite foods of mine, what's the point? And I truly believed that. I really identified myself with the high and then the lows of using food. And the thought of giving it up was beyond my comprehension. I could not imagine that there could be anything that could replace that substance, because that substance became my life. It made me high. It helped comfort me. It was my go-to always to find safety and security. And so the thought of giving it up, absolutely, I began to feel, I'm just going to be dull. Life isn't going to be worth living. I mean, that's how terribly disenfranchised and separated from spirit I was then. I had no idea that there was something greater that could come into my life. that by giving up that addictive behavior and those substances, that there could be a whole new vista that would open up to me of life, joyous and carefree and a life of service. I had no idea. And I think that's what this paragraph reminds me of. You know I must get along without, in our case, food, but how can I? It was an impossibility for me to even think. So this idea of letting go of what I was used to, relying on, and thinking that if I let it go, that somehow I'm going to be less than, is really the point to me in this paragraph. Because, of course, as it says, have you a sufficient substitute? Absolutely. And we're going to learn more about that as we read on. So thank you for the opportunity to share, and I pass now. Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you so much, Lois P., for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names that people would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Susan S.H.
Susan S.H. Who else would like to share? Press star 1 if you'd like to share. Okay, Susan, let's go ahead and start with you while we give others a chance to gather
Laura
their thoughts.
Laura W.
Okay, and Laura W.
Cheryl S.
Cheryl S. Okay, very good. Well, let's go ahead and start with Susan S.H., Laura W., Cheryl S. Susan, go ahead and share with us, please.
Okay, thank you. This is Susan S.H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Ohio. And reading this, and I kind of listened to the earlier meeting too and thought about it and thought how it applied to me. And it did apply to me because I went to meetings for a year and a half, and I cringe when I remember this, but I knew I was sunk. I knew this was the last house on the block, but I still felt like I was too cool for school. Would I not be cool anymore if I truly adopted this way of living? Well, I don't know or really care about my coolness today, but I have a life that is more pleasing and serene than I ever imagined. And I am so grateful that I finally abandoned myself completely and jumped in. It's such a better way of life for me. I can't even describe it, so I'll quit trying, and I am grateful for where I am today and grateful that I've been given the opportunity to do service, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Susan H. from Ohio. Laura W., please share with us, followed by Cheryl S.
Hi, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I am a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. The word that really stuck out for me is under, because when I think of being under something, I think of being trapped and, you know, almost like it's strange. I don't have that many fears anymore now that I am trying to rely on God on a daily basis. But one of the fears that I've had since childhood is drowning. And it's interesting because I swim a lot. I swim a lot now, but I have a fear of drowning, especially like falling through an icy lake and going under the ice. And it's this weird fear that I've had. I've never fallen through ice before, but it's just, and when I read this, that's what I think. I think of, oh my gosh, that's how I was. I was trapped under the compulsive behaviors. I was trapped under the addiction and I could not get out. And by working the steps and by working with a sponsor, I've been shown through all of you one day at a time how to get out. And this past Saturday, and I'm saying this because I'm praising God, I'm praising my higher power. This past Saturday, I had 19 years of back-to-back abstinence. And I couldn't go literally 9 minutes without a sugar fix in my anorexia. Like I was always sucking on something sugary and fat-free and whatever. And I've been 19 years without it. And I'm so, so, sorry, that's not barking. I'm so grateful to God and my higher power, and to know that there is a sufficient substitute, and it's this program. It's this program of Overeaters Anonymous. I'm going to have to pass in a second. It's a program of Overeaters Anonymous and a higher power doing for me what I could not do alone. Thank you for letting me share. Sorry for the dog.
No worries. Thank you so much, Laura W. from New Jersey. Cheryl S., please share with us, and then I'm going to be taking some more names. And if you happen to be just joining us, we are on page 52, talking about that first paragraph. We have shown how we got out from under through Have You a Sufficient Substitute. So Cheryl S., please share with us, and then I'll take some more names.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. as in Sam from Nevada. And I literally just RSVP'd for a friend's 1 year, their son's 1 year birthday party. And, you know, I was thinking, looking at the time, and I guess the thing is, I wasn't afraid about what's going to be served there and will I have a good time. I am going to plan for myself, you know, my food. So that I take the steps that I need to continue to be safe and protected. But after I RSVP'd, she sent me back a note that said, you know, I'm glad you're coming, and we're going to be swimming and having pizza. And my thought was, oh, this will be fun. I get to swim, and I haven't been in the pool this season. You know, but the old me would have been so into the food that was at the party, so self-conscious about my image, and that I couldn't even really go and enjoy. But I can now because I'm out from underneath this horrible disease, and I can go and enjoy my friends and celebrate their baby's 1 year birthday, and I get to swim. And how fun is that going to be? So anyway, that's all I have today. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. from Nevada. And I'm now going to be taking the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Liz
Ann
A.
Liz A. And was that Ann?
Yes.
Ann. And what was your initial, Ann?
A.
Okay, and was that Tom L?
Yep.
All right, who else would like to share? Press star one.
Matrix J.
Matrix J?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Anyone else? All right, well, we've got a great lineup here. I have Liz A, Ann A, Tom L, and Matrix J. Liz A, please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Dawn. Liz A, recovered compulsive overeater from Los Angeles. You know, this paragraph is actually so powerful because all the behaviors that I had before program were about, you know, people pleasing, trying to be a part of, you know, wanting to be as cool as friends, wanting to look as good or better than them. But it was always about the loneliness, the hole that I felt inside of me. You know, so all of those things, which I thought, how am I going to, you know, not be able to do those things? When I came into program, I got so much more. I am accepted and loved for exactly who I am. I finally belong. I'm not lonely anymore. I can pick up the phone. I can go see someone. I can give hugs. I am not alone, and people have my back. I know that I can call anyone in program, and they will have my back. They understand me. So sufficient substitute, it's more than sufficient. My God, it's everything. It's getting rid of that empty space in my gut, which I thought I had to fill with food. Instead, I'm filling with the love of the fellowship and the love of God. And I guess that's all I have to share. I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Liz A. from California. Ann A., please share with us, followed by Tom L.
Thank you so much, Dawn B. from California. And wow, what powerful shares. Oh boy, I am moved. I am Ann A. from New York, and I'm so grateful. I missed Vision. I usually go to this earlier one. I was on a cruise to Alaska. And I'm just so grateful because, I'm not grateful because I lost weight, which I think is funny. I'm grateful because I took you all with me in my night meeting. And I had to look up the word sufficient, and it means as much as needed, enough. And I am so grateful to be recovered for my 42nd month. I'm so grateful that my higher power decided that Anne was going in the wrong doors for 65 years, and he wanted to show me the door to freedom. And there I met you all, and I brought you all on my cruise. And here I had the love and support, though the phone plans weren't working and the texting wasn't working. I had my pocket scale to weigh my food. I had saw God in his creations and his glaciers. And I saw him in the fellows on the boat. And when I was getting selfish, I just talked to the person next to me and heard their story and heard how God has touched them. And I was also grateful for the Friends of Bill meetings where I... people just shared their guts out, their souls, and that strengthened me. And I'm just so grateful that I can be of service to being sane as much as I can for my daughter, who's 20 now, and for my husband, who's enjoying his life in New Hampshire. And I'm just so grateful to the meeting that I could share, and with that I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ann A. from New York. Tom L., please share with us, followed by Matrix J.
Good morning, Dawn, and it's good to be here on a Tuesday. Tom L. from California, compulsive overeater. The previous share reminded me, yeah, I went on a cruise too, sober with food once. And those Friends of Bill meetings, this was before, you know, we had satellite link up or internet. And those Friends of Bill, those alcoholics gave me and my wife, you know, shelter. And they understood. They didn't understand specifically about the food, but they knew what it was like to be in a sea of alcohol and not have to drink. If you read a little further on, you know, what's the sufficient substitute? They talk about the fellowship, which for me, yes and no. That Friend of Bill meeting was fellowship. I go to two meetings in the morning as I prepare for work and drive to work. This is one of them. I talk to recovered people throughout the day. My sponsor, I have two sponsors, and my sponsees and you know, people in program. My brother's in recovery, and that's a lot of fellowship. I happen to need it. I'm a very bad case of this disease, lost a lot and have a lot to lose. But it is not, I've tried that before, and I always lose interest after a while. There's a paragraph or a sentence in Bill's story where it says, alcohol was my master. And that's what I always forget. Food is my master. It drove me for decades into the ground and laughed about it and enjoyed my suffering. That's what I felt. It felt like demonic possession. I knew what I should have done, but I couldn't do it. I was literally was not a free person. Now, it's like I don't want to be glum. I don't want to be sad. I want to run my own life and get all the good stuff. That's what I want to do. I still want to eat. That is not an option I have found. I have tried to run my own life without the food and doing all the program stuff as I could, but still be the boss. If you read steps 10, pages 84 to 88, 83 to 88, that is not a life of running the show. That is the opposite. I have a master as the god of my understanding. It took a lot of tinkering and work and sweat to come up with a god that made sense to me. But with that at the center of all this fellowship, it all works. And I can live free of my addiction, but I can't live free from all responsibility. I have a responsibility. I have a job to do. And the pay is good. But you gotta give up. You gotta be thoroughly convinced that any other way is, because, you know, who would do this unless they had to? So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Tom L. from California. Well, today we are talking about page 152, that first paragraph. We have shown how we got out from under. Through the end of that paragraph, have you a sufficient substitute? So, Matrix J, please share with us, and then I'm going to be taking some more names.
Thank you. This is Matrix J from Michigan. Thanks for your service. Very glad to be here. You know, I had to humble myself. I really, really did, because I just felt like I had all the answers myself, and my best thinking got me here. I wasn't willing to take suggestions when it came to a sponsor. I would only go so far, and then I would get my will in there and prideful and say, you know, I don't need a sponsor. I don't need the help. You know, I can do this on my own. And eventually I'm going to become a normal eater. That was my thinking. And I didn't even like the big book. I'm going to be honest. I did not like the big book. I didn't like what it was saying. And that was all into my will, my way. And for me to work this program, I mean really work this program, I have to get myself out of the way. I have to get my will out of the way and be willing to take suggestions and help from the people in the program, and especially from my higher power, who I choose to call God. I used to hear people say they have the gift of desperation, and I would be like, what does that mean? How you get it? You know, but it just comes. It just comes. Like the promises says, it's a day at a time program. And even though I had all that cocky thinking, I kept coming back. Something within inside me knew that I needed this program and I needed to continue to come back. So day after day, I would let go of my will a little bit at a time. It has been a process for me. These things didn't come overnight. But I can honestly say now that I have the gift of desperation, and I'm powerless over food, and my life has become unmanageable. So I'm willing to do God's will. I'm willing to take suggestions of my sponsors, which I have two, a food sponsor and a step sponsor. And when I get ready to run and get cocky again, I have to reach out to my fellow travelers and tell them the honest truth about what I'm doing and what I'm thinking. So I continue to come back, and I continue to humble myself. And it doesn't matter how long I've been abstinent. Just a one day at a time. Just a one day at a time. And sometimes that day is too big for me, and I have to break down my day. So I just keep coming back, keep being open-minded and willing to do what it takes to work this program and follow instructions of the big book. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Matrix J from Michigan. And I'm now going to take some more names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Sonia S. from Pennsylvania.
Okay, Sonia, and I have Deb. Who else would like to share? Press star 1 if you'd like to share. Okay, let's go ahead and get started with Deb E, followed by Sonia S. Go ahead, Deb. Let us know where you're calling from.
Deb E, recovered. Okay, hi, this is Deb E, recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I really didn't see how I would be able to live without, at first it was chocolate and then it was sugar. I really didn't think it was possible. Like, I couldn't see beyond that thought. You know, I was like, I just couldn't see how it could function. I was like, there's no way I'll be able to stop. And somehow I did, you know, like somehow I've been living a long, long time without those substances because there's a more than sufficient substitute. And it took time for me to really like embrace that. You know, I was willing to embrace it in one way immediately just because I was so desperate. But to really take it on like I do today, after years of practice, took time. And, you know, there was a lot of, for a long time, I had to pray to be willing to be willing. You know, the willingness did not come easily for me. And the substitute is that I lean on my higher power, and that I actually like sit with my emotions and deal with them instead of covering them up with food. And this part about will I be stupid, boring, and glum? Like, I feel like I don't really relate to that because I wasn't like the life of the party or anything ever, but I did see like righteous people and, you know, religious people as not so interesting. So I guess I can relate to that part of it. And I just, you know, I thought my life couldn't be quite as interesting as it was without the sugar and the chocolate and all the stuff, you know, that went with that. Because I just didn't know, you know, I had no idea how much bigger it could get, how much bigger my life could get. And I'm really grateful to say that it is that much bigger. So thank you. I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Deb E. from Israel. Sonia S., please share with us. Star 1, Sonia. Okay, perhaps Sonia had to step away. May I be heard? Am I being heard?
Yes, Dawn, absolutely.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Okay, well, I'm going to take some more names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. We're on page 152, that first paragraph. We have shown how we got out from under through the end of that paragraph. So who would like to share with us?
I am Joyce Debbie P. from Indiana.
Okay, I heard Debbie P. and who else?
IOA from Southern California.
IOA, very good. And one more name?
Joyce H. Wendy M.
Joyce H. and Wendy M. Okay, very good. Is Sonia S. back on the line? Okay, I guess not. Well, Debbie P., please share with us, followed by IOA. Go ahead, Debbie.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. My name is Debbie P. I am a recovering compulsive overeater. This paragraph has kind of got me thinking. I've been a little bit ashamed, I guess I'll say, for lack of better terms, to share because I had a relapse back in June when I went on vacation. And this paragraph, it has kind of related to it. I have this ideal in my head or this belief in my head that when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And so if I'm on vacation, I have to, you know, try the new things. And that gets me in trouble. But it's also because, you know, I don't want to be boring or glum. I got to be like everybody else and do everything that everyone else is doing. The fact of the matter is I have more fun when I don't eat these things. Fortunately, I did not stay in that relapse very long, and I'm back on track and so on and so forth. But I have to really examine my motives because I don't overeat or I don't relapse on every vacation. It's just some, and I haven't figured out what that's about. Usually somewhere around a little over a year. So I'm wondering if I'm not afraid of, you know, getting any deeper on my recovery. But I do know that regardless, I get, the big book tells me, I get a daily reprieve contingent upon my spiritual condition. And somehow my will kind of just sneaks in there when I'm on vacation in certain situations. And I'm still working on that. I guess I'm still working on me. I'm not perfect and I'm never going to be perfect. But I can just be better today than I was yesterday. So thank you for letting me share and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. from Indiana. IOA, please share with us, followed by Joyce H.
Greetings. Can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good morning. This is IOA from Irvine in Southern California, and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. And I just wanted to share a little bit about the fear. I mean, I've had these fears for a long time. I knew people in recovery, but nobody in OA and Overeaters Anonymous, nobody who had food as an addiction. And it was interesting because all the time where I was kind of not in recovery, it was clear that I had an addiction or I had this food thing, but I just, in my head, it was like the worst, you know, 12-step I could be a part of. And I also remember when my sponsor asked me to do what she called hospitalization, and I felt really like I was missing out on life, like I wasn't eating out and I wasn't doing things that I would normally do. And I'm not in hospitalization anymore, and that what that means is I'm fully integrated into life as a recovered person, someone who's worked the 12 steps, who's carrying the message and trying to, you know, live out these principles in all my affairs. And that was really scary for me. I didn't think much about like not having fun when it was time to kind of go out and really live my life with these principles. There are times, for example, when I go, but so it's not so much about not being fun. It's about not being my old self. But what I have discovered is recovery has made me a more authentic person. So one of my greatest fears was like going back to work, and I had made amends to people there. And I honestly said this on like several outreach calls, like there are going to be people who need to be cussed out and I won't get to cuss them out. They'll need to be put in their place. And then I'm going to be viewed as like this weak person at work and not like the Rottweiler that, you know, I so came to love and feel like was my role. And it was like amazing to hear myself say that, because when I had that kind of posture, I wanted to quit my job every day. And today I'm looking forward to going to work. And I still fear those interactions and meetings and where someone's going to say something or cross a boundary, and I'm not going to have the same reaction. And I wonder, like, will they think, you know, they can take advantage of me? But what this recovery has given me is I rely on the Most High, and I know whatever the outcome, he's in complete control.
Okay.
This weekend, my husband took me on a getaway, and I was actually present for it, and it wasn't about the food, and I never even thought that was possible. So I would say glum lot, no, but I feel gifted. Thank you.
Thank you so much, IOA from California. Joyce H., please share with us, followed by Wendy M.
Hi, this is Joyce H. from Pennsylvania. Thank you so much for the beautiful shares, the heartfelt honesty about staying in recovery and walking that balance beam of sanity. As I read the paragraph and heard the shares about it, I'm reminded also that when I think I'm safe and protected, I'm kind of shielding myself, not kind of, I am shielding myself from people who can say things that upset me. And so finding the solution in the paragraph talks about walking that balance beam, keeping it honest, keeping it real, not living in my fears that people can hurt me, and just being present in the moment, not putting myself in places of danger, but me not deciding what that place of danger is. Let HP do it. I work so hard to find a comfortable HP, one with guidance and wisdom. May I always listen, because if I'm in charge, I'm going to be stuck in my room. I'm going to be eating excessively. I'm going to not relate at all to people. So to find that balance is what I hear in this paragraph. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Joyce H. Wendy M., please share with us.
Yes, Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Dawn, for your service today. It's wonderful. Substitute, right? Like, when you're in the food, you don't even know. I didn't even know. You know, I was just, like, living in the food. And when I'm in the food, I'm stupid, boring, and glum. I don't know that I'm stupid, but I'm certainly boring and glum, and I'm full of blame, and I'm full of resentment, and everybody's wrong, and I'm the only one who's right. And that's when I'm in the food, right? So what a gift. Today's day 30 of entire abstinence. And like somebody said, it's one day at a time. But boy, you know, when you're on this side of it, it's like technicolor. You know, God begins to enter into my heart. And I, you know, that intuitive knowing, that inspiration, it starts coming. You know, I'm on the fourth step, and I would have it no other way. I'm currently on a 6-day, driving trip, and my food went bad. And in the past, I'd be like, my food went bad. You know, there's nothing I can do about it. And, you know, we go to any length. Last night, I went to a Walmart for 2 teaspoons of olive oil because that was on my plan. You know, and there was a part of me that was like, are you kidding? You know, this is difficult. Don't you know who I am? And yet it was like, oh, no, you're going, because that's on your plan. And that's what you committed. You know, and when we, you know, it's funny, we put down the food, at least, yeah, we put down the food. But do we put down the selfishness, the blaming, the self-centeredness, you know, and that's, you know, that's what this program, the substitute, gives us: intense freedom, freedom from the bondage of myself, freedom from the bondage of pride, of self-centeredness, you know, running the show. I mean, I find myself pausing, you know, not just with the food, but with people, you know. I just dropped my son off at college, you know, and it's like, how can I make this about him? And how can I call one of you guys and bawl my eyes out, but call him and say, how are you doing? What do you need? You know, and the other thing is, you don't get to call your son all the time. Again, things change. That is the substitute. It's not just that I have neutrality with food, thank you, God. And it is, thank you, God. It is a freedom. But it's neutrality with how I treat my son, how I treat all of you. I love somebody talked about, you know, humility and my crazy thinking, right? Like, I pretty much know how to sponsor myself, and I pretty much know how things should go. And I don't. Thank God. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. And I have time for another share. If you have not shared in the last few days, please press star one and give me your name. If you'd like to share. Would someone like to take that last share?
Yeah, this is Canova from Ohio, and I would like to share.
Go ahead.
The paragraph, really, what it says to me is I can have a much better relationship with my higher power. But my fear is that I'm grieving over the death of my only son, and I feel like the food is what's, yeah, I feel so raw, and I feel like certain things are getting me through it, but I can just hear my power singing, just start. Just start, Canova, and I'll give you the willingness to do this. But I'm so afraid because I'm hurting so much. But anyway, that's why I decided, well, Canova, what can you do for your program? I've been in since 85, and I lost my husband, and then, of course, self-will took in. And God said, well, you can listen. You can listen now. And then get to work and find you a sponsor. I know what to do, and that even makes it harder sometimes, but I have to let go of my will, you know, and that's going to be hard for me. I think I'm afraid of success, and I think I'm afraid of failure, too. You know, what if I can't do this? I call a sponsor, and what if I let her down, you know? But anyway, I'm just grateful to be here today, and please pray for me, please. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Canova from Ohio, for sharing with us, and keep coming back. Our prayers are with you. Thank you so much to everyone who shared, making this meeting just a beautiful experience. And we're now going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Larry G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
My name is Larry G. Our book is meant to be suggested only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. I pass back to you, Dawn.